Hey, I understand there's a big, well, maybe it's not as much of a rivalry game now as it used to be, but that Big Spring is going to be playing Boiling Springs this coming Friday, right? Is that what? Go Bulldogs. All right, yeah, okay. Go Bulldogs. I guess I'm a born-again Bulldog now, but you know that I grew up in Boiling Springs and graduated from there, and those were some heated games that we had back in the day. And the big rivalry between Boiling Springs and Big Spring, and I want you to know that the Big Spring fans, they can be pretty tough at times. I mean, I can remember coming into the stadium over here at Big Spring, and you know the fans are just yelling at us and pointing at us and all this kind of stuff. And some of them, believe it or not, were even throwing firecrackers at us. I couldn't believe it. It was a bad situation. So we picked them up and lit them and threw them back at them. But yeah, those Big Spring fans, they can be rough. They can really be rough. We're going to show this video in just a second, but let me set it up real quick. Oh, I got to tell you my joke real quick. And I apologize ahead of time to all blondes, okay? I'm sorry. But it's very cute. So this blonde, this brunette, I'm sorry, this brunette walks into the doctor's office, right? It won't sting, Sharon. It's okay. It's good. It'll just make you chuckle. So this brunette walks into the doctor's office and says, "Doctor, you have to help me. Something major's going on." And he said, "Well, describe it to me. What's happening?" And she says, "Everywhere I touch on my body, it hurts. Look, ow!" Touches her knee. "Oh!" Her forehead. "Ow! Everywhere I touch, it hurts." And the doctor looks at her and says, "You're not a natural brunette, are you?" And she says, "No, I dyed my hair. I'm a natural blonde. How did you know?" He said, "Because you have a broken finger." See, I told you it wouldn't sting. It was cute. Okay, we're going to be talking about action today, okay? Action, 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 action. Can we loosen up for just a second and do something for me? Will you indulge me, okay? You know how whenever they're shooting a movie, right? And they have their little, I don't know what it's called, and they snap it, a slate. Okay, there we go. We have the technical term here. The guy snaps the slate, and then the director says what? Action, right? Okay. So do that with me, okay? Just to kind of get us in this mindset of action. Let's clap real loud and then say action. Okay, we're going to do it all together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Action. Action. Right. Good. Let's do it another time. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Action. Awesome. Awesome. Well, a guy took action at a football game back in 1982. It was a New England Patriots home game versus Miami. And it had snowed like crazy leading up to game day. And the field was white. They had to shovel the stadium out because there was snow in the seats. And it was a mess. It snowed during the game. It was frigid cold. The field was like a sheet of ice almost. They agreed ahead of the game that they would come out with like these snow plows. They had like a rotating brush type thing that would clear the lines on the field, like every 5 yards, you know, there's that white line that goes across. So they would clear them and the sidelines just so they could see, because it was snowing so hard it would cover it up. So nobody scoring. I mean, the receivers can hardly catch the ball. The quarterback can hardly grip it to throw it. I mean, conditions were miserable. And they call this the snowplow game because with a little bit less than 5 minutes left in the game, somehow, the New England Patriots had managed to drive the ball down like inside the 30 or something. They're within field goal range. Nobody has scored. It's 0-0 at this point. And the Patriots know, look, this is about as good as it's going to get today. If we kick this field goal, that might be the only points that are scored. And so, out of the blue, the coach gets this idea. He runs down the sideline. And there's a guy sitting on a little lawn tractor with one of those little brushy things on it. And he orders them to go out and clear the place on the field where the holder's going to hold the ball and where the kicker's going to kick the field goal from. Because it's covered with snow right now. And this guy comes out in his little tractor during a timeout, clears it, and goes off to the other side. The Patriots come out, kick like a 33-yard field goal at the Dolphins don't score the rest of the way, and the Patriots win the game 3-0 in what's called the snowplow game. Okay? And of course, the coach for the Dolphins is losing his mind because, hey, this isn't fair. What are you bringing a snowplow out to plow it away so it'll be easier for this guy to kick the field goal? Okay, let's watch this little short video. We're not going to watch the whole thing. I'll cut it off at like 2 minutes or something.
The Dolphins left the warmth of Miami to tiptoe gingerly onto the Patriots field in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The frozen tundra would soon serve as a setting for the bizarre chain of events that would forever be known as the Snowplow Caper.
It's the first time since I've been in professional football we've ever taken such serious exception to something which happened on the field. That kind of thing should not occur as a result of somebody putting a snowplow run by a convict with a day off from prison out onto the field to give special advantage to the home team.
The advantage came with the wave of an arm. When late in the fourth quarter, Coach Ron Meyer sent a snowplow onto the field. It was driven by a convict on a work release furlough. The inmate dutifully cleared a small area in the vicinity of the Dolphins' 20-yard line that enabled place kicker John Smith to get a toehold for the field goal that broke a scoreless tie. The improbable 3-0 win propelled the Patriots into the playoffs, where they quickly were eliminated by these same Dolphins. But the snowplow caper that got them there remains painfully frozen in memory.
Okay, we can cut it off there. But so the snowplow caper, and I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This guy is a convicted burglar. And he's on work release from the prison, and he's the guy that goes out. He's the guy that takes action, okay? He's the guy that took action that day, and as a result of his action, the Patriots won the game. If he had not taken action that day, do you think that he would have made that field goal? They had tried multiple ones earlier in the game. But the kicker, you know, when they go up to plant their foot, it's ice. And so they're slipping and they can't kick it the way they would in normal conditions. So as a result of this guy's action, he helped the Patriots ultimately win the football game. Okay? We're talking about action today. Action, action, action. And I just really feel like this ties in so well with what Pastor Steve has been going over in the summer series, the 4 B's. Believe, belong, become, behave. The last one is behave. And as we continue to renew our minds, believe that we belong, we become what God's called us to be, it will affect our actions on the back end, right? And there are sometimes in that process that God will come to us and ask us directly, and we're going to look at a few examples throughout Scripture, will ask us to do something. He'll ask us to put something down. He'll ask us to pick something up. He will ask us to do something. Just like that, the driver of that lawn tractor was asked to do something that day. And if we'll be willing to take action and be obedient to what God's called us to do, it can have great benefits, not just for us, but for others as well. You with me? So, action, 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 action. What is God asking us to put down? What is He asking us to pick up? What is He asking us to do? And what is our response going to be? We're talking about action today. Action. Of course, the ultimate person in Scripture that took action that we benefit from is Jesus Himself. Right? And we talked about it in communion this morning. Because He was willing to do everything that He did, He lived a sinless life. He died in our place as a sacrifice on the cross. If anyone ever deserved not to have that punishment, it was Jesus. But He took our sin upon Him. He acted. And as a result of His actions, all of mankind has the opportunity to be reconciled to God. What if He doesn't take action? We're sunk, right? How important is it when God comes to us and asks us to act? How important is it for us to do? Now, obviously, we're not reconciling mankind to the Father like Jesus did. But some of the things that God is asking us to do can have really severe effects, not just on us, but on others as well. Remember the guys at the wedding where Jesus turned the water into wine? And remember what Mary said to them. You know the story. They're at this wedding reception, and they run out of wine, and it's you know, culturally that's a no-no, that's a faux pas, it could bring great shame to the family, and so everyone's a little frantic. You know, what are we going to do? We ran out of wine, and you know how it is. Typically, they serve the good stuff first, and when that runs out, then the lesser stuff, because people's faculties are not as what they used to be, right? You with me? So, but they run out of wine, and what are we going to do? And Mary has this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus is going to act, and he's going to do something about the situation. And she looks at these servants over here, and she says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, the thing that he has them do is fill up these huge water pots with water, and this is going to be our wine. I don't think the people are drunk enough yet to notice that they're drinking water instead of wine. Okay? What's running through their minds as they're doing what Jesus said to do? There must be all kinds of questions. What is he thinking? You know, what is my boss going to think when he drinks this water and it's supposed to be wine? You know, what are the people going to think? I mean, all these questions have to be going through his mind. Because it doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense, but Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Do it. Because they acted, everybody was blessed at the reception. Because Jesus did the impossible. He turned the water into wine, and things went on just like they were supposed to. And many people were blessed because these servants acted. Even though it didn't all quite make sense to them, probably, I would guess. Wouldn't you? What about when God comes to us and asks us to do something, and we have a list, 12 pages long of why we shouldn't do what God is asking us to do? Because, and I can back it up, because I have this outline of reasons why I can't do what you're asking me to do. Right? Or can we say yes to him and take the action that he's asking us to, even if we don't have it all figured out? Even if it doesn't make sense. Think of Noah. Think of Noah. Somebody who acted. Somebody who was obedient when it didn't make sense. There had never been rain. Right? And you want me to build this immense ark? Because there's going to be a flood? I don't even think I know what a flood is. I don't know what rain is. I haven't seen rain before. Did it make sense to Noah? No. But did God ask him to do that? Yes. We would do well to act on what God is asking us to do, because it not only affects us, but it affects others as well. Did Noah's act of obedience affect just him? No. It affected his wife. It affected his three sons and their wives. It affected many other people. If Noah isn't obedient, if he doesn't step out and do the thing that God's called him to do, what happens to his family? If I don't step out and do the thing that God's called me to do, what about the people that need to get into the kingdom of God, that God's asking me to witness to? You see what I'm saying? It's important. It's important that we take action. Rich young ruler. Let's turn there to Matthew chapter 19. You guys all there? Matthew 19. We're going to start in verse 20. Let's just talk about Jesus for a second before we get to rich young ruler. In what Jesus did, the action that he took so that we could be reconciled to God in dying on a cross. And all the, you know, it wasn't just like that and it was done. You know, there was this whole court thing, and there was the whole mocking. There was people spitting on him. There was people slapping him, people hitting him. There was all the shame that went along with him ultimately giving his life for us on the cross. And if you back up a little bit to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus wasn't very warm to the idea. Remember? He's praying in the garden, And he says, what does he pray? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Because I know what's going to happen. And it's not going to be pretty. And it's not going to feel good. Jesus just being honest with God the Father. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. I'm willing to take action. I'm willing to be obedient. I'm willing to do the thing that you've called me to do as an expression of my love to you. Right? Jesus put it this way. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? If you love me, obey. And so as an expression of Jesus' love for the Father, he was obedient even to death on a cross. Can we do the same thing? Can we, as an expression of our love to God, be obedient to the things that he asks us to do? Because sometimes in his love for us, he'll ask us questions that will really reveal where our heart is. That's what we have here with the rich young ruler. Let's start at 19. So Jesus is saying, you know, all these commandments that you should keep, because the question originally was, what must I do that I may have eternal life, from the rich young ruler? So he's going through these commandments, and verse 20 says, the young man said to him, to Jesus, all these things I have kept from my youth, what do I still lack? And then Jesus poses something to the rich young ruler that really reveals where his heart is. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. That's a hard thing that Jesus asked him to do. And we'll get into it a little bit later, and I believe that it really revealed where his heart was, because his premise from the beginning was skewed, was off. What must I do? What do I do to earn eternal life? And I think Jesus was trying to point it out to him. Brother, you can't do anything to earn eternal life. But he asks him to do this tough thing. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. What's going through this young man's mind when Jesus gives him that? Give away everything? Maybe this wealth had been in his family for generations, and now it was his turn to steward the family's wealth. Maybe he's thinking, well, Jesus, don't you know we do give to the poor? We do help out people with our money. Maybe he's thinking, there's no way I'm doing that. Maybe there was 100 different things going through his mind, and maybe some of them were very legitimate. Jesus was asking him to do something. Jesus was asking him to take action. And I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that sometimes he'll do that with us as well. Ask us a very tough thing to do that in our own strength we can't do. But can we, as an expression of love, based on a solid foundation of a relationship that we have with him, that's based on trust, where I say, I can trust you, Lord. Even though I don't have all the answers, even though it doesn't make sense to me, even though it's a very difficult thing you're asking me to do, can we say yes and take action, the action that he's asking us to do? Knowing that it not only affects us, but it can potentially release other people into their destiny. Let's do that. Let's help each other to do that. We talked about Noah, the rich young ruler. We talked about how our obedience, you know, taking action and being obedient to what God has called us to do, is actually an expression of our love to the Father. And I know this probably feels like a heavy word that I'm bringing this morning. And I would agree with you, it is. I would say to you, though, that it's an important word. And it's you know, in preparing for to share this, I really felt like this is the direction that God wanted me to go in. And doesn't love do that? Doesn't love have the tough conversation? Right? Isn't that what love does? Because think about it, if God didn't give a rip, just go live your dysfunctional life the way it is, right? What do I care? But no, he's not like that. He loves us. He paid the ultimate price so that we could be reconciled to him. And so if we need to hear a hard word, he does it in love. He does it in love. That's the motivation, I believe, in him having me share this word this morning, is love, is to help, is to encourage ultimately. If we need, it's to give us a course correction, as Pastor Karen used to say from time to time. Sometimes we need those course corrections. Talking about how one man's action not only affects him, but affects others. And we're looking at Jesus, how his action in going to the cross, laying down his life, being the sacrifice for us, how it affected mankind. And we're going to wrap up here shortly. I'm not going to go too much longer. But just look at this, how what his obedience as an expression of his love to God and him taking action to what God was asking him to do. Look at the effects that that had. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, okay, talking about Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We will reign in life through the gift of righteousness. This is what happens to us as a result of one man's obedience, as a result of one man taking action. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation, even so, here it is, through one man's righteous act, through one man taking righteous action, through one man as an expression of his love to God, being obedient and doing the thing that God's called him to do. What happens? Resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. What effect will we have on the world as we're obedient to lay down, to pick up whatever God is calling us to do? What effect will that have on other people? Will that literally help usher them in to their destiny? Will that help bring them into the plan of God? It can absolutely happen, and that's absolutely what God wants to do through us. And at times, it will take us to take action. It will not take us time to pontificate and talk about it from every different angle and think about it. There is a time for that, and we need to do that. We should do that. But when I'm the rich young ruler, and God is, and Jesus is standing in front of me, and he asks me to do something tough, that's not the time to have this dialogue. That's the time to say yes. When I'm the servant at the wedding reception, and we've run out of wine, and Mary says, do what he says to do, and he asked me to do something difficult, that's not the time to have this conversation. It's time to act. You with me? There's time to talk. There's time to meditate. There's time to pray about a matter. There's time to consult with counselors. Yes, do that. Do that. But don't do that when it's time to act. Right? When it's time to action. Does that make sense? Okay. Real quick, what are a couple things that could prevent us from doing what God's asking us to do? Well, just off the top of your head, just call out a couple things. Huh? Fear? Oh, mine? Busyness? Temptation? Pride? Pride, that's a good one. What's that? Anger? Madness? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fear, pride, unforgiveness, selfishness, we're believing lies. These are all things that could help us, or that could prevent us. Yes, John? Temper? Yeah, that's right. If we have anger, that could prevent us from being obedient to what God's called us to do. Good job. Good man. So, what's God asking of you? Is He asking you to lay something down? Is He asking you to pick something up? Is He asking you to deal with something? What is God specifically asking you? And I believe that if we will come to Him, if we'll press into Him, if we'll draw near to Him, and ask that honest question, God, what are you asking of me? What action do you want me to take? I believe we're in a season, we're in a period right now where either God has been or is about to ask us to do some things. I just believe that's where we are. And so what is our response going to be? Are we going to say, well, God, I know you've been asking me to do that for, 3 years, and I think I'll get to it at some point. No, He is asking us to take action. This is a season of action. This is a season of saying yes to God. This is a season of stepping out as an expression of love to Him and helping others to be released into their destiny. That's the season that we're in right now. So let's continue to believe that we belong, become what He's called us to do and be, and behave in a way that lines up with His behavior. And when He comes to us and asks us to do something, let's be quick to be obedient. I just want to pray for us just briefly, and we're going to wrap up in like 2 minutes here. We're just going to take some time, though. And let's just bow our heads. Father, I just thank You for Your amazing love that You have for us. Lord, You're good. Lord, You're never going to let us down, as we sang earlier. We thank You that You do all things well. And Jesus, we thank You for the perfect example that You set for us as a man who, as an expression of His love for His Heavenly Father, took action and was perfectly obedient to what the Father asked him to do. And Lord, we're the beneficiaries of that. We've been reconciled to You, Father, because of His obedience, because of His action. And so, Lord, we just open ourselves to You this morning, and we ask the honest question, God, what are You asking us to do? What do You want us to lay down? What do You want us to pick up? What action do You want us to take? And Holy Spirit, I just ask that You would enable us and empower us to walk the thing out. That we don't look to ourselves to do it in our strength, but that God, You would empower us. You would anoint us. You would fill us with Your Spirit, fill us with Your power, fill us with Your wisdom to walk out the thing that You're asking us to do. We thank You that this doesn't just affect us. This affects others. God, we pray for a release of others into their destiny, a release of others into the plans and purposes of God as a result of us stepping out and acting in obedience, Lord. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to perceive what You're asking of us. And help us to step out and do it. Lord, that You would receive honor and glory. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
All right, let's stand. I think today some of you have a very clear idea of what it is that God has been asking you to do. And in some cases, it may have even been for years that He's been prompting you to do something. And so He cared enough today to remind you to take that action. Some others are like, I don't think there's anything. I think it might be because I just felt to challenge you that it was because you haven't asked. Like, there isn't anything I'm not doing that God's asked me to do. Maybe you've just been so busy, so preoccupied. You know, we just get so caught up in just living life. you know, working to pay bills and taking care of our families, that I just felt to challenge you in your devotions today, say, God, what do you want me to be doing that I'm not presently doing? And some of you will be surprised because he's going to answer that question. Amen? All right, let's go out and do and be this week. Amen? You're released. Thank you, folks.